B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Krejci far point delivers left to the net. Pastrnak, 10 seconds left. Krejci far circle. Pastrnak fires. Trying to go top shelf. He missed the target. Five. Bank. They score! Bergeron back in the net. Threw it off a pad. It snuck inside the post. The Bruins with a power play goal in the waning seconds have taken a 2-1 lead.
Okay, Bruins moving on. Good morning. Welcome in, Zolak and Bertrand. No Zoe today. Zoe is on assignment in Foxborough today. Zoe was allowed into training camp. In fact, he was not only allowed in for a practice. Today was a scrimmage in Foxborough.
Is it done?
It can't be done.
No.
It started last hour. So Zoe is down in Foxborough. He's with Bob Soucy today. They are calling the scrimmage for later airing of that scrimmage. It'll be a televised event as well. So that's where Zoe is today. We're hoping to maybe catch him on the line later on to tell us what was going on down there. And we'll talk to Bob Soucy today as well. But we start with the Bruins and their win yesterday to move on and put out the Carolina Hurricanes. I want to start with something that is not exactly related to what played out in the course of the game.
Okay.
If I may.
Yeah, sure.
David Pastrnak played in the game.
Yes.
Last night.
Yes, he was going to be a game-time decision based on what Bruce Cassidy said yesterday. They didn't have a morning skate. He's going to see how he looked in the warm-ups, and he took a look. He's good to go. He played.
Before the game even started, when I heard he was going to play, I was impressed. This is a player that I've been very critical of for his behavior, whether it be falling down on the sidewalk or quarantining twice. And I think Cam Neely expressed that the team was not thrilled. Hello. Not thrilled with how late it was that he got back to the States to begin with.
Yeah.
So, you know, COVIDiot David Pastrnak has taken plenty of criticism.
You don't know that he's a COVIDiot.
I do.
You don't know.
I do. Pictures to prove it. There are pictures of him. There are no pictures of Tuukka Rask, but there are pictures of David Pastrnak. So he's taken plenty of criticism, and I have dished out plenty of criticism to David Pastrnak over the last month or so. And he missed some games in this series, and I even say maybe the injury was a result of his behavior and not being fully up and running like the rest of his teammates are. This is just a recap.
Ginormous stretch. Yes.
Fine.
I love that.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm going to have a ginormous stretch the other way in this,
okay,
in that I think David Pastrnak really showed us something by playing in that game yesterday, because if he had not played, no one would have given it a second thought. Yeah, we were saying yesterday, they'll probably just hold him out. There's no chance in risking it. There's no chance in him being on the ice. And this is my assumption and my speculation that the team did feel that way. That the team probably said, no, you don't need to play. We're not going to risk you getting further injured to go out there and play. And my belief is that David Pastrnak probably pushed through that to be on the ice and play in this game yesterday. A game that was in a series that was pretty much trending to the Hurricanes being dead. And he played, which tells me that he may have forced the issue and said, nope, I'm feeling better. My team's got a chance to close this thing out, and I want to go, and I want to be out there. And a couple of days ago, we were criticizing him for being not as much like Patrice Bergeron as we'd like him to be, right? Fighting through it, pushing through, and I think yesterday is an example of him pushing through and playing. So the fact that that game started yesterday with David Pastrnak on the ice for the Bruins, to me, was a real positive sign for that player.
Okay, it's a positive sign for the player.
I give him a lot of credit.
It's a positive sign for the Bruins that they were willing to, because we talked about this, if there was any ambiguity as to whether or not he should go or could go, just hold him out. You know, you're up 3-1. You have a real good chance of closing out the series yesterday, or at the very least today, and you can do it without him. Credit to the Bruins from an organizational level, Beetle, for recognizing that just like in hockey, the game count, there's nothing more dangerous than that two-goal or two-game lead. Because had the Hurricanes won yesterday, gives them a sense that they can actually do it. All we got to do is win one more, and then it's a coin toss, and then we can do it. So credit to the organization for recognizing that. Say, you know what? No, let's go bury these guys. We've got them on the ropes after that third period in Game 4. Let's close them out here. How are we going to close them out? With David Pastrnak on the ice. Is he ready? He's ready. Could he use more rest? Who couldn't? Absolutely. It would be beneficial. You know what? Put him out there. Let's get this thing done, and let's rest up for whoever we need to play next.
Yeah,
I give him credit from a coaching and organizational level and the player. I'll join you in giving credit to Pastrnak, but good on the Bruins for saying, we're not messing around with this. We already established our dominance the last period of hockey we played against this team. We're just going to continue that in Game 5. And by the way, dominant, not like we saw in the third period. You couldn't expect them to sustain the type of energy and what they showed in the third period in Game 4. They won the game yesterday, and once they got the lead, it looked like they had it well in hand. But that first goal, that had to have made you a little bit nervous.
No, not really.
Come on.
Not really. Not based on the way we saw Game 4 play out. Right?
Okay.
I mean, look at how the way Game 4 played. Okay, you got a goal? Well, we watched you completely fall apart in the last game. So, no, it didn't get me nervous. It really didn't. Because
I was kind of waiting for the second goal. I was kind of waiting for the second goal to be scored on Halak.
And have it be a softie.
And have it be a 2-0 game all over.
Or have it be a puck that Tuukka could have stopped. Or one of those situations.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't nervous. Just based on what we had just seen a couple of nights before.
Okay.
Right?
Well, either way, they get credit. They get credit from the player level, and they get credit from the team level.
They do. They credit all the way around. Credit to the Bruins. And a credit to the Bruins for finishing off this series and getting it over with. Because that was a question we were talking about yesterday. Which was, is there a... downside to having time off here, which I don't think there is. And I say that now because the Bruins look like the team that we thought they would be in the playoffs.
Mm.
And I go back in, what month were we in? March. What month was it again? March, at the start of March. They're starting to look like that team that we know they can be.
Mm-hmm.
And their challenges will get tougher here on this road to wherever it is they're going. It's going to get harder. The competition is going to get harder. I thought Zdeno Chara's comments on the Hurricanes after the game last night were appropriate because I think that's going to be a good team for a while. I think the Carolina Hurricanes are going to be in the mix. But they're not there yet. And their goaltending is an issue. Their goaltending is a problem. How'd you like Bergeron's goal off the skate?
I had to watch it 3 times, and I still didn't see it. It wasn't until I saw a different angle of it on Twitter where I understood how that goal went in.
Isn't it great? Wasn't it great? No, that was fun. That was fun. So there you have some goaltending issues. But this was not a bad team. This was a good first round for the Bruins. I think you could feel a lot better about the Bruins now than you did after Game 2.
100%.
Through the first couple of games, I don't think the Bruins were great, and they lost Game 2. They were, in a very tight game in Game 1. I think after the last 3 games, especially after Game 4, you're feeling a lot better about where this team can go with or without Tuukka Rask, just based on the way they're playing. And now with Pastrnak back in the lineup is right. This is the right one. Pastrnak is back, and he's going to continue to play. And he was a factor in the game with a pair of assists yesterday, and I give him a lot of credit. Cue it up, T-Bone. Cue up. Cue up the music. And here's another thing, Hardy.
I can't believe
to your point from 2 weeks ago.
You just made me miss Louth for the first time.
Yeah. The round robin games?
Yeah.
They didn't mean squat. They really didn't.
Oh.
Like
did anybody have that sentiment, or did anyone actually say it out loud?
They didn't mean anything.
Huh. I can't remember. There's someone on this show who said, I don't care about him. Don't worry about it. Give me 4 games, and that includes the first game of the playoffs, and then I'll make my decision, and then I'll know what kind of team I have.
Yeah, you got lucky with that take.
Oh, did I? Or is it because I, unlike you and everyone else apparently on the show, no hockey.
Didn't matter. The Bruins looked old and slow and disengaged in the round robin. The Carolina Hurricanes looked sharp. They looked ready to go. They looked like a team that was ready to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals, and they fell flat on their face in the first round.
It's like Marchand said, it was preseason. It was preseason.
It was. You were right. I was wrong. Marchand was right. And T-Blades is happy. 617-779-0985.
Oh, I didn't even see the T-Blades graphic.
That's the meanest thing I've ever
seen. That is. Look at T-Blades. Deal with it. Your phone calls on the Bruins in reaction to their win last night. We're talking about that. There's also more to get to on maybe Zdeno Chara. I think he's starting to come around. We'll get to that. Your calls. Bruins win. They're moving on. We'll get to it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
To sports, they're knowledgeable.
Tell me about a pie that doesn't have a top over it.
And always on their game.
I walk around my house naked all the time.
Szolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I really like how we responded, how resilient we were in certain situations of the throughout the series. Obviously, not an easy situation that Yara had to step in, and he played obviously really big for us. You know, the whole line of Lindholm, Nordy, Barr, and Wags, they did such an amazing job for us, blocking a lot of shots, sacrificing themselves. You know, I think that different guys step up every night, but obviously our top line did their job. Our power play scored some key goals in a key situations. We defended well, but again, we know we can be better, and we're going to be working on it to be better.
I don't know how you feel, Hardy, but I feel better about the way that Zdeno Chara was playing later in this series than he was at the start. I feel like he's using this time for his ramp up.
So I didn't have a problem with him in game one.
I did. I thought the first two games he was not very good at all.
Game two, there were issues, and since then he has gotten better, certainly.
Great sign for the Bruins.
Yep.
Excellent sign for the Bruins. Zdeno Chara, I think, is, you know, working out his old man things to get going. Get up and running in this thing. T-Bone's laughing at me. Why are you laughing at me? Why are you laughing, T-Bone?
Old man things.
Yeah, old man things, you know?
A little rust, a little creaky.
Well, how old? He's what? How old is he now?
66.
Yeah. I think he has like a late month birthday. He might be 65 still.
Okay.
No, he's 43. He's 43 years old. Him and Brady, old guys. You know, it takes a little extra time. Takes his, what's that thing that the old people take for the bones? You know, the creaky bones?
Glucosamine, chondroitin.
Yeah, one of those types of things.
Garlic.
Centrum Silver.
Yes.
Stuff that Larry King endorses. Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever those things are, like the Flex, whatever.
Flexol 454.
I don't know what it is.
Flex Seal. I don't know.
it's just like, you know, he takes his regimen of pills and he's ready to go. So I think that's great. I think it's great for the Bruins that they're trending in the right direction. Now, the question still remains, is the goaltending going to be good enough, which we'll be talking about the entire time that they are playing games. But I do wonder, and I said this after the Bruins ripped off a couple of wins after Tuukka Rask's departure, are they at a point where are they going to use it as a motivational piece of this? Not that they're upset with their teammate, because they're not. They've clearly sort of, you know, defended their teammate and supported their teammate in Tuukka Rask and his departure and going home. But I think that because Rask is not there, there are doubts about how far this team can go. And I think the players are very much aware of people now having doubts about the Bruins and how far they can go. Will they use that as part of their "we're going to show the world" attitude, if you will?
Yeah, but that will only get you so far when the issue for the Bruins is your goaltender. The attitude and the chip on your shoulder works great if you're a defenseman. It works great if you're a second and third line forward. Fourth line guys, look, they've got it. You know, that fourth line, again, they're looking great. Very happy with all aspects of play. The question mark, and I'm not unhappy with the way Halak played last night, but that's still a question. And all the grit and determination and, you know, chip on your shoulder stuff that you want to throw in there, it's like we talked about before. You know, after game two, it's like they got to come out, they got to bear down, they got to ramped up. How do you do that if you're a goalie? You know, you go out there and you know, demand that you take more shots on goal. No, it's a period of waiting and then doing the right thing and positioning it. That whole attitude doesn't necessarily serve you well. Some would argue that it did in some ways for Tim Thomas in 2011, and I get that, but it still comes down to whether or not you have the requisite skills to stop shots, and that is going to be the question going forward for this team. Now, the way they turned it up offensively and the way they started playing more physically, I'm inclined to agree and say yes, they will use this to their advantage. But the one aspect of the game where I don't think it helps them is the goaltending, and that's the biggest question on this team.
Right, that makes complete sense. The other part is, you know what's been lost in the shutdown and restart? I think, maybe it hasn't, but the Bruins are a team that lost Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final last year. And
are you sure?
There should be sort of this, we've got to get back, we've got to prove it, we've got to get there again and prove that we can win that seventh game this time around. Right? Remember sort of that talk and reporting on the meeting that took place and how after they had lost Game 7, all the players like sat in the locker room together and, you know, whatever they did, had a sleepover, spent the night in there drinking beers, whatever the hell it was they were doing after they lost Game 7 at home last year. T-Bone definitely remembers this. All the talk about how close of a group they were and this group was really special and they, like, you know, were, you know, making like bro pledges to each other, like, we're going to get back. We're going to do it again. We were going to have to get back and win it. Like, I don't know. Has that been lost? Is that still a thing? Do they still feel like they've got something to get back and prove based on how it fell apart for them at the end last year? It feels like it's so long ago now
and
that
so
it can't
different.
Really be a thing.
It's just so different now. Like, if they were back at the Garden and, you know, they're playing the Hurricanes
right.
again in their building, and then at the, you know, at the Garden, you could have more of a sense of, you know, wow, this is history repeating itself, last year's postseason coming around again, but it's got to feel so different for those guys.
It's sterile a little bit in terms of,
for
like,
for them,
yes.
But my viewing experience.
That doesn't mean they're not competitive or anything like that, okay?
Do you feel it's sterile watching it?
I do.
I don't.
For the first time yesterday, I was like, oh man, they won this game. Imagine they close out a series at home. How, you know, how great the crowd is when that happens. Like,
screw it. I loved it.
How loud the building is.
Nope.
Miss it? You know when I miss it? When the fog horn blows. That's when I miss it.
Oh, you child.
For the goals.
Get over yourself.
And the crowd goes insane. What? That's, you don't like that? You don't appreciate that? Are you human?
Well, first,
do you have emotions?
I've never appreciated. Woo!
Well, that's way after the fact. That's when they do the announcement of the goal.
Well, I mean, that's part of it. It doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah. Oh, here we're finding out today that Hardy has no sports soul. He has no appreciation for that, for the crowd losing their mind.
No.
And the horn
blowing.
You want
to know why, Beetle? You want to know
and
why?
And the lights. I love when the lights are flashing.
No.
And the guys are going nuts.
It's not a golf clap.
Do you know what I watched? Did you see the video where Bergeron was mic'd up yesterday? Was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday. I watched it last night. And, you know, they score a goal, and you get three players come together and do, like, the group hug thing. And it's like, it just feels quiet. Like, it's just not quite right.
I'm fine with it. And I do have a soul,
you have
Beto.
No soul. You have no freaking
no,
sports soul.
But here's the difference. You have the soul of a fan. I have the soul of an athlete.
Get the hell out of here. What does that mean?
I'm not sure.
You don't think the athletes have an appreciation for that, for the atmosphere of the game?
They have an appreciation for that win yesterday. All the other stuff I like, and I thought, like, oh, who needs a handshake line? Overrated. I love the handshake line. I watched all of it. I was glued to it. I wanted to switch over to the Celtics. I'm like, nope, I can't turn this off until I see the post-series handshake line, because I have the soul of an athlete, Beetle. You have the soul of a fan. Little Marky Bertrand calling into a talk show to talk to Drew Bledsoe. Me, I was right there with those Ice Warriors, and I felt that victory right along with them. Now, watching the play. Shut up, McCarthy. I see him looking at me. You don't even have to say anything. I see you looking at me.
Okay.
Shortcake. Knowing what was on the line and knowing what it meant and all the stuff we talked about at the top of the show, Pastrnak in there playing, closing these guys out, not having to play a back-to-back, not giving Carolina life. I was pumped. I was amped. I was into it. I was into that game. The fact that there was no crowd there didn't even bother me in the slightest.
Other than just winning the first round, this was a very good result for the Bruins. The way they played by the end.
That closeout game could have just as easily taken place on Carolina's
Absolutely.
Ice. So what?
I just imagined it yesterday on TD Garden Ice.
Which is a bad example because there are many fans down there in Carolina.
That are transplants and are Bruins fans. Yes. So that's sort of why they play those games in Carolina and in Florida. The Florida Panthers, please. That's just, we have hockey available to you here, so you can go watch hockey since you're not from here. You know, that's what that's there for. Tampa Bay, I'll give credit to Tampa Bay. They got a good fan base in Tampa Bay, despite being Tampa Bay.
They do. They have a good team. That does wonders for your fan base.
And we could be talking about Tampa Bay soon as a matchup with these Bruins. What?
A lot of offense for Halak to deal with.
It's going to be a lot of shots.
A lot of snipers.
There's going to be a lot to see there.
A lot of snipers.
You better be ready for it. Could be an onslaught. Get ready. The challenges will get more difficult for the Bruins going forward. 617-779-0985. Let's get to your calls on the Bruins. Also, Celtics with a win last night to take a 2-0 series lead. We'll get into that coming up too.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Romeo Langford walking across the timeline. On paper, this appeared to be the most difficult matchup because the dominance of Joel Embiid. And offensively, Joel Embiid has been dominant in the first two games. But the Celtics have had multiple answers in game one. They had multiple answers in game two. And tonight, they leave no doubt. The Celtics take a 2-0 lead. And the Sixers leave the floor with many more questions than answers. The final score, Boston 128, Philadelphia 101.
What's up, Philly? How's that basketball team of yours? Holy crap. I made a mistake on a number of fronts. I underestimated how big of a loss Ben Simmons was because I thought there was still a team in Philadelphia, even with Ben Simmons being hurt. I knew that they were going to be hampered in a big way, but I didn't realize they were like barely going to be able to compete. Even when they've had early leads, it feels like the Celtics are toying with this team. Celtics go down big early, and not a problem. Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah, we've been jacking a bunch of threes, but give us a moment. We'll fix this.
Yeah, I don't even know if toying with them is, and I'm sure they're not. I can see how you get that sense. I just get the sense that after two games now, whatever hole that they're in, it's no big deal.
They're not playing with any fear of this team.
No,
none.
No, which is kind of the case, and you can expect every team in the NBA and virtually every game, not just the playoffs, to go on a run if they're down 10, 12, 15 points third quarter, whatever. That's commonplace. But the difference is, you get down 12-15 to the, so what? So what? To this team? Don't worry. Embiid will stop playing here any moment now. He'll just start standing around. He'll become, I mean, unengaged doesn't do justice to the level that that guy is putting in. He's just not interested. Not interested in being out there. They've got talent. They still have some talent out there, but they're either not conditioned or they're not engaged, and they're not up to beating a team like the Celtics, who apparently is both in decent shape and engaged and feel like they got a shot at going deep into this playoffs. So forget about it. This series is over.
Done.
This is done.
2-0 and it's over.
Over.
And this is something that applies to not only the NBA, but also to the NHL. That is, when they are living in the bubble, and the NBA guys have been there for a month now. They've been in the bubble now for a month. When the Philadelphia 76ers see what's coming to them in this series right now, and they look totally dejected and defeated already, and Joel Embiid looks like he's had enough, they're going to shut it down and get the hell out of there. And, you know, I mean, it's weird timing, but do you think the 76ers think they have any shot in this series right now?
No.
None.
No.
So you know what they're going to do? Pack it up and go home. They want to get this thing over with as fast as possible. They want to get out of their Mickey Mouse hotel room. They want to get back on a plane and go home and be done with the year.
Even guys that you would expect to not be of that mindset, Al Horford, good example.
Right.
He knows. You could
don't see as much of him these days as you used to.
Body Al language, Horford. You know.
Where has he been?
Looked like he was in the fourth row of bench.
Yeah,
yesterday.
Where was he? I'm glad. Hope things are going well for him there.
It's not an issue. What? This playoff series? No, it's not happening. It's not happening.
They're toast, and they know it, and they're going to quit and shut it down and get the hell out of there as fast as possible. And I think that applies to a lot of different teams in series, is what I think. You know, you go down 2-0, and you know you have no shot. Let's go home. We've had enough. Okay, they're the better team. There's no way we're going to win the series. Let's go. And, man, I didn't watch Philly in the bubble at all, you know, in their regular season games. But they are not the team they were before the shutdown. Obviously, Ben Simmons is a huge part of that. But the rest of their players, they look like garbage. They look like they don't really care all that much. I know people have talked about Embiid looking either checked out or tired or whatever. But they're not the same team. I gave this team way too much credit. I thought we might have some competitive games here. Nope. Second half, Celtics poured on and put them out of their misery. Mm-hmm. And ended it's great. The Celtics are playing really well. My expectations of the Celtics are rising a little bit. Coming together here, folks. Even with the Gordon Hayward injury this
week.
Rising.
Okay. Rising from where to where?
I think I did not believe they could get out of the Eastern Conference. I thought their road would end in the Eastern Conference Finals, and that would be fine. I'd be okay with it. I think they're playing well enough that they could get out of the conference and get to the finals. Right now, the way they're playing, I think they could do it.
Mark the tape?
Don't mark the tape, but you know, the team that does concern me is Milwaukee. And as you heard Sean Grandy say, they have had answers for the size. Multiple answers. For the size of Embiid. Similar situation with a better team around him will present itself in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Better team around him for the big fella.
Well, I think Giannis is going to stay a little more engaged than Joel Embiid has.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. I'm just saying, I'm giving him a chance.
I'll give him a chance.
I would not have given them a chance, but they're playing so well, and they've put it together so well over this entire bubble. They look like a team that's locked in. That's all I got to say. They look locked in.
They do. They do. And I'm going to give them credit for beating up on. I will give them credit.
I still think they have flaws, but
look,
you know,
Sixers aren't terrible. Like I said, they have talent, but you have to consider the opponent. And they're looking good against a team that is pretty much checked out. They checked out that by the second half of that game, their series was done. So that's number one. And number two,
I mean, it's not like they just decided to quit. They got beat into submission by the Celtics. They see it. They see that train coming down the tracks, and they're like, "I'm going to step out of the way."
I just gotta, you know, I gotta think back. If I did not like their chances against the Bucks in an Eastern Conference Final with Gordon Hayward, how do I like them without Gordon Hayward? It's tough for me to wrap my head around that.
All right. Florida Mike checked in, by the way, on Twitter saying he structures his vacations around Bruins-Panthers games.
That's nice.
He says it's just west of Fort Lauderdale and Sunrise. It's a nice arena, and there are more Bruins fans there. Yes.
I believe it.
I totally believe it. Yep. So true. Speaking of the Bruins, Jed in Boston on the goaltending chip on the shoulder possibility for the Bees. Jed.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I just wanted to say that I disagree with that point. I was a goalie, and I think it's you can absolutely have a chip on your shoulder, and I think Hellock's the exact type of guy to be successful with that. When he was on the Canadiens behind Price and in 2009-2010, he came into the playoffs and stepped in and absolutely dominated. Had a 9.23 save percentage, won 9 games for them, and I think he's been passed around.
That was
around
a full decade and, ago, though, Jed. I mean, I'm just not sure how much that's going to apply now.
Well, it could apply
10 years ago.
How long ago did you play, Jed?
I played about 9 years ago.
Okay, so I think it's a total direct A to B correlation.
Jed, are you available to back up Halak? Because right now that seems to be, like a carousel. You know, you might be able to jump on.
I don't know if my knees will work anymore, but if they
don't sell yourself short. You're playing the same game these guys are. Thanks, buddy. Only in hockey. Only when we talk hockey. It's the only sport. Hell, if we mention
that's not true.
As
it's just more prevalent.
It's the only.
No, it's not. It's just most prevalent in hockey.
When we talk football today, who's going to call up and say I played high school football, so I know
we get
what
it in baseball. We get it in
Cam
baseball
Newton
with the guys
through.
Who say, "Well, I was a pitcher."
No.
Absolutely.
A handful of times.
Not to the level that we get it.
No,
with
I agree.
Hockey
is far and away the leader in this category.
Those pitchers probably could pitch for the Red Sox, though.
I was a pitcher. Well, sign yourself up. We're having open tryouts today at noon at Fenway Park. Get out there and throw a bullpen. Let's see what you got, kid.
Only hockey. It's only hockey. And it never fails.
Mike in the car. What's up, Mike?
Guys, how's it going? Just a comment on this 76ers team. I really think that people had them wrong from the beginning. I had a lot of friends who called me a Celtics punk, but after I saw what went down, they lost Redick. You know, they picked up Wolford. They lost Jimmy Butler. They don't have Covington anymore either. They got net worth this season. I don't know why people had them so ranked so high. I know Embiid's a good player, but he moves around like a dinosaur, and he gets double teamed and spins into that double team like a high school player would. And maybe that's direction from the coach. I'm not sure, but
maybe it's just that he's not all that invested right now.
Yeah.
That could be it too. He may be feeling that he may have been feeling they didn't have a shot right out of the gate. May have been feeling that.
How do you feel that going in though? When I mean these
the
guys,
Simmons injury. That's he just must feel like that's it. We're done.
Doesn't Joel Embiid though still feel like he's the best player on that team?
I think he's faced some constant criticism about exerting dominance.
If I'm Joel Embiid, I not only think I'm the best player on that team, but I am the best player on the court between those two teams. And that alone should give you confidence at the start of a series. He didn't have it. Maybe a little bit. First half, game one, it's all gone now. It's all gone. That series is over.
Let's get to some unboxing for Jim Louth's office.
Nice.
Coming up next, we'll do that. We've also got some baseball items for you in hour number two, including a broadcasting, I don't know what to call it. I wouldn't call it a gaffe. A broadcasting issue that happened last night in baseball. All that will be covered in the next hour. So don't go anywhere. We'll open up some packages next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know what they say?
What?
Good things come in small packages.
An autographed game puck signed by number 16, Marco Sturm.
It's a good quality item.
Kane's mayonnaise.
The Jim Corsi gum.
When I want something, I get it.
Framed photo of number 35, Manny Fernandez.
Yes, sir. Top of the line.
We got a mother load here.
Like, that's the size of box you put an animal in.
It's Jim Louth Unboxed. Jim Louth, corporate Jim Louth. Now our assistant program director.
Program director, according to one of the items that was sent to him yesterday.
You know, Jim, he's ambitious. He's trying to make moves. So what we've been requesting is items to fit on Jim's 36 shelves in his office. There are 36 of them, but they are all 5.5 inches tall.
Yes.
They cover an entire wall. Please send us your items, because it appears we're running low. I hope we're not coming to an end here. We only have two things to open. We're not even backed up on mail. Typically, we have a backup, and right now, supplies are running low.
So right now, we are begging the mailman to send us more items, T-Bone.
Yes.
T-Bone.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
And, you know, I don't know if it's related to these UPS, USPS backups. You know, that are the sabotage of the postal service that's happening. But I hope not. 55 Morrissey Boulevard, Dorchester, Mass., 02125. If you'd like to send a package to Jim Louth, corporate Jim Louth at 98.5.
Well, it takes a lot to get these items together. Some people who don't even have to mail them haven't been bothered to bring in their items yet, Beetle.
I said I'm going to bring in some items when we slow down, and here's the slowdown, so I will bring items tomorrow.
All right.
This is from Bob and Sheila in Worcester. We were talking about needing a lamp the other day. Their note says, "Dear Jim, here's a lamp that will fit on your shelf. Love the show. Bob and Sheila in Worcester." It's obviously a small lamp. It's going to fit on the shelf.
If it'll fit on the shelf, that'd be great.
Yeah. Oh, this is terrific. This is really nice.
I was hoping for one of those.
It is a leg lamp.
I don't know if it's going to fit.
That is fantastic.
But it plugs in. It is a leg lamp nightlight.
Oh. Well, then you can plug it in then.
Do we have any plugs around here?
Yeah, up there on the ceiling.
I have to climb up on the... I can't reach that even when I jump on the counter. That's really cool.
That's delightful.
If I can get it over on that wall, we can capture that on TV. You open yours, Hart.
Well, it's a leg. I got a statue.
Yeah, fragile.
That must be Italian.
Must be Italian.
It's my major award.
Oh, you should see it from over here.
So overrated. Are you kidding me?
Christmas Story is not overrated, T-Bone.
Oh, my God. Can we... I know I don't have the power to turn off this mic. Worst take in the history of 98.5, the Sports Hub, right there. Phenomenal movie. Come on, T-Bone. Be better than that. Hashtag be better.
You want to know why that lamp plugs in upside down in this room, Beetle? Commercial. And I don't know why. We need an electrician to tell us why they're flipped. I may have asked an electrician here once.
We need a bulb. The bulb is burned out.
But also, you can hear it. The outlets in commercial properties, they're upside down.
They are. My electrician told me that.
Why?
Because I had an upside down outlet in my house. And I said, "Why is that upside down?" And he said, "Because a commercial electrician put that in." He said, "That's why." He said, "Fool."
But why would they be...
I'm like, well, the guy knew he was in a house when he was putting it in, so why is it upside down? Is it just the way they do it?
Yeah, but why?
I don't know.
All right. I have a letter here.
We got to get a new bulb for that.
Patrick and Quincy, America's most patriotic
town.
That's
absolutely correct.
Dear Beatles, Zoe, Hardy, Jim Louth, and T-Bone with T-Bone crossed out. I don't know why. He drew a line through T-Bone right there, but he did. I don't know. He thought
better
of it.
Quincy.
Big fan
He's
of the show. Thanks for keeping
He's
me entertained.
Smart. That's what he is.
Two random pieces of sports memorabilia I had lying around my apartment. Seemed perfect for the shelf. Hockey puck signed by Mike Greer and Hal Gill, I think.
Hal Gill. Wow. And
black puck signed in black Sharpie.
What?
There are signatures on there. I'll be damned if I can see them.
What, do we need to dust them like fingerprints so we can see them?
Back in the late 2000s when they were playing summer hockey in Rockland. Sean Thornton also skated, but I couldn't get his autograph. The medal is from the head of the Riverfront Regatta, which is a rowing regatta held annually in Hartford, Connecticut, on the Connecticut River. I was rowing for Trinity College at the time, and we were one of two colleges in our blah, blah, blah. Anyway, there Lame. You go.
Feels Riverfront- like a clean out.
No, it's a signed puck, and it's a Riverfront rowing medal.
Regatta medal. Well, good thing we got the leg lamp today.
Good thing you weren't going up against
Sheila.
Captain Al Collings of the Incisor in that regatta. Although, I believe it was a young upstart air traffic controller who came along and won that race with the Barnacle. It's a sailing race, though, not a rowing race. All right. Thank you very much, Patrick.
Got to get a new bulb today.
He doesn't like T-Bone.
Well, who does?
I do. I love you, T-Bone.
He lies.
55 Morrissey Boulevard, Dorchester, Mass. 0213.
Yeah.
What is
02125.
It? 02125.
That's what we need.
Thank you.
Send him on over. Thank you to everyone who already has. I'll bring some stuff in tomorrow. What it is, I don't know. We'll find out.
You're going to start cleaning out anyway.
I do. Yes, I do. We will get to headlines. Oh, wait. Before we do that, we're getting the explanation on the upside down outlets.
Oh, good.
From Malcolm, who says, it is common to have rooms with a switched outlet, meaning that one or both of the receptacles is actually operated by a switch.
Yeah.
They may position the outlet in an upside down position so that you can quickly identify the switch-controlled receptacle. That doesn't make sense.
So that's for your, that would be in your home why they would have done that.
It wasn't switched.
Okay. I'm saying why, as a rule, do commercial outlets like a three prong have the single prong on top, and then in homes it's flipped? Why?
Correct.
Why?
You walk around this building, every outlet is upside down.
Right. Walk around your house, every outlet's the other way.
Correct.
Why?
I want to know.
I want to know, too.
I'd love to know. And that outlet that was upside down in my house was absolutely not switched. It was an added-on outlet for an air conditioner. That's what it was for, originally.
Here we go. Brian DeRocher, electrician. I've been an electrician for 18 years. I work on race cars for 18 years.
Go on. Go on.
Mostly.
By the way, the phone is now ringing off the hook with electricians, by the way.
Well, if this answers the question, you can hang up. Mostly residential due to the fact that I hate commercial. The reason why most commercial outlets are upside down is to if the outlet fails or device, the ground is on top and will fail to the hot or neutral conductor and trip the circuit. Per the code, there is no right or wrong way to install the outlet.
That doesn't really help me understand it. Is that
most commercial outlets are upside down. If the outlet fails, or the device.
Adam's on the line. Adam, why is it? Why are they upside down? Is he there? Hold on. Sorry, Adam, start over. Go ahead. Yep.
I said generally they use metal plates in commercial properties. So if the cord is plugged in and for whatever reason the plate comes loose, it won't land on the two prongs and short out the circuit. It'll land on the ground pin. That's generally why it's done, but there's actually no reason other than that.
I love it. So
really,
everyone's like, I got the reason, but it really doesn't matter.
No, there's no reason. That's just the way they've been doing it for years, and they're continuing on with it. So, but
okay,
all right.
Brett and Walpole, Brett, would you agree with that assessment?
Yes. If you look it up on the web, I think you'll find a story about a couple that were doing illicit drugs on a mirror behind the...
Okay. I don't know what that was, so I'm not getting into that. Tom in Seattle. Tom.
Hey, yeah, that other guy was right. It's from the old school when commercial was metal covers, and if the metal cover vibrated off, it wouldn't hit across the hot and the neutral together. It would land on the ground.
Got it. Okay.
But still, you have a 50-50 chance of it rolling one way or the other, but but that's the original reason why it was for that.
Right, like if the bottom of the plate came off as opposed to the top of it coming off, it could still roll underneath.
On one plate.
Right. It could still roll underneath and hit the hot wire there. But I get it. I understand what he's saying.
I think what we're learning is there are reasons, but they're not great reasons.
Yeah, they're not great, and it became a habit, and now it's like tradition, right?
Let me ask.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.